Now we move to the third part of what we're going to be looking at. It's dedicated to the second reading, which is a hymn. It's Colossians 1, 15 to 20. Now, it may be a hymn that Paul wrote, maybe a hymn that he picked up from the prayer life of the community, or it may be one that he's adapting. And everybody has a different guess. When we get to heaven, we can say, Paul, where did you get that from? And he'll tell us. He'll probably say, the Holy Spirit. Where else would I get it from? Anyway, this text. At first blush, it doesn't seem to be fitting with the theme. But if you look closely, the text says, Christ, he is the image of the invisible God. He's the ikon to teyu, to aoratu. He's the icon, ikon. He's the visible manifestation. Okay. He's the firstborn among all creation. Not the first created, but the firstborn. The one who inherits everything. For in him were created all things in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. Now, what can Paul mean by all of that? You see, he's talking. I have a beautiful quote here that I found later. He's talking here, you see. And he's talking about the Word, but the Word incarnate. And he's saying it was through him that all things were created. Think about that. That's the one we receive at the Eucharist every day. This whole universe holds together, exists because of him. And yet, he's our crucified and risen Lord, and he's the bread and wine we eat by every day. This is the one. And this is why Paul puts this hymn in here, to give us a vision of who it is we're dealing with. Not to frighten us, but to make us awestruck that it would be like that, you see. For in him, you see, ektisti tapanta. Tapanta, the everything, the all, the universe. How do they translate that? Created all things. That's good enough. That's my translation. In the heavens and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether it be thrones or dominations, principalities or powers, tapanta, everything, is created through him. All the Father's activity flows through his beloved eternal divine Son, and that's creation. But we know who that person is. The mystics of the Old Testament had some inklings. It's amazing when you look, and maybe sometimes when others point it out to you. I think it's Richard Baucom, who has a great article, or it's Christopher Zeitz, one of those two Anglican scholars. You see, what they talk about, when they talk about wisdom or word, they somehow share God's identity. That's as far as these mystics can get, until the word comes down and takes shape, and he's there, and he's talking to the Father. Now we know. But not before that. But they know there's something going on there. That's why Dabar and Chokmah, particularly, and in some ways Ruach, Spirit, they share God's identity, which is a beautiful, just way Baucom puts it. They share God's identity. That's as far as they can go until that Logos is here among us. And we see him turn and look to the Father and pray. And yet, he prays saying, Abba, intimate, intimate. And then we know. And then when the Holy Spirit finally comes and gives us knowledge of who Jesus really is, that's the whole point of right now, this year of faith. This time of faith is to come to a faith knowledge that Jesus Christ is equal to the Father in everything. And so, Tapanta, the everything, the universe, is created in him, the visible and invisible, thrones and dominations, the principalities and powers. All is created through him, and he is above all things. I don't know how they translate it. I got my translation here. Yeah, and before all things, and in him all things hold together. Now, many of you looking and hearing this received the Lord this morning. You know the one you received? You see? He's the one through whom everything was created. That's the one you carried in your body. He became man. And then the man God became bread, wine, to feed us. You say, that's unimaginable. Yes, it's unimaginable, but it's not unbelievable. Because God moves us to believe it. And it is such a joy. You know, I forgot who it was. I think it was Therese. No, it was Catherine of Siena. Used to say when she received communion, thank you, Lord. Thank you. But how long do we have to keep this up in symbol? I want to see you. Hunger and thirst to be with God forever. And so that's what's being said here, you see. All things were created, and he is before, and in him all things hold together. Now Paul moves, and he's the head of the body. These are all his divine realities from before all time, and now he's head of the body. He's a physical head. See, the church, he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might become in all things preeminent, because in him all the pleroma, all the fullness, was pleased to dwell. You know, there's only one way we can fill these words with content. We believe them, and we know they're true. But what they really mean can be going right over our heads, right? Is to go to the Lord and say, please explain this to me. Enlighten me. Now, you know what will happen? He won't right away because we're not ready. But he'll start to talk to you. Have you forgiven so-and-so? You know, I asked you yesterday to serve so-and-so and you didn't. Did you do that? You know, have you fudged on your prayer time? In other words, I will lead you to this place of revelation, but you have to obey me minute by minute, day by day, step by step, because all I want to do is to bring you to that place of revelation. You remember that beautiful text? If any man loves me, he will keep my commandments, and my Father will love him. See that? My Father will love him, and I will love him, and I will show myself to you. The way to get from where we are to revelation is to obey the Lord. And if you sit, we get sensitive, we know what that means. Forgive so-and-so. Help so-and-so. Don't eat anymore. You've had enough. Get up from the table. Little pushes all day long. And they're all for one reason, to bring us to that place of revelation. I will love him and I will show myself to him. And if you see me, you see the Father. It's a promise. So, all the pleroma, the whole fullness of God, dwells in him. And that pleroma through him reconciles all things to himself, making peace through the blood of his cross, whether things on earth or things in the heavens. You know, we got to try to think, what does that mean? We read these things, you know, making peace, you know, through the blood of his cross. Ah, that's very nice. What does it mean? How by the blood of his Christ? What happens there? Physical blood poured out in an act of love. You know, with all the weight of our sins on him, he pours out his blood, and that brings us back to the Father. How? Well, you have to ask the Lord. I remember, I think I told you this, I did. But it's important, and you know, I'm just sharing it. One day the Lord said to me, I want you to ask yourself this question. What happened when that man died? Oh, I went on a search. I read the scriptures. I was reading passion narratives. I was, you know, what happened when that man died? It's inexpressible, but it's glorious. It's light. It's peace. It's friendship. It's union. It's all of which we had been deprived of, though some by anticipation were given foretaste, Moses, Abraham, prophets, many righteous Israelites, but still in shadow. They had the reality, but in shadow. It's only when the reality comes that we see it. And so, now, I stumbled on this text. I don't think I was working on this Colossians text. This is Aquinas' commentary on Romans. The fifth question, he's asking questions here. Whether this is true, this man has always existed. The answer is that it is true. Because a man presupposes a supposit, that is, that thing we call person. In this case, an eternal one. Hence it is stated in Hebrews, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. However, the statement is not true if man is taken precisely as man, for it is not true that that man as man always has existed, but as he is Son of God. So the matters concerning the preordainment and the power of God are clear. That man always existed, because the heart of that man is his person. And that is eternal. That's Jesus Christ. Incarnate. Talking to us. Saving us. And that's what this text is all about. This glorious Jesus Christ. And Paul describes him. He's the image of the invisible God. Nobody ever saw God, but if you see Jesus, you see the Father. If you really see him, he's the firstborn of all creation, because in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, visible and invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. Those are all great, powerful spirits. They were all created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That's the one who's talking to us in the Gospels, in our hearts. That's the one who comes to us in the bread and wine that have been transformed at the liturgy. This is the one, the Lord of all. Isn't that beautiful? Okay, we'll move on.